You will have heard this week that the sales, I don't know if anybody here has got one, probably, the sales and the demand has been phenomenal. And we're told, amazingly, extraordinarily, that already it has brought in almost $1 billion. Grand Auto Theft 5. It is extraordinary. There have even been cases where people have been injured, people have been attacked, and all because of a game. It's this week's example of the desire within the human heart for something that will excite, something that will grab, something that will literally give us thrills and spills. And you know, we could use different examples. Into the midst of the busyness of life, there is this desire within the human heart for excitement, for pleasure, for satisfaction. Again, every weekend tells its tale as people go out relieved that Friday has come and there's a couple of days to have a great time before the Monday morning, having to go back to work or go out looking for work. It's what drives millions of people, the quest for satisfaction. And into that, the good news of the Lord Jesus rings out. And into that, forgive me, allow me to quote it. I've quoted it so many times. Those words, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Into all of that, the good news of Jesus Christ still rings out and says to people, whether they will listen to it or whether they will ignore it, whether they will accept it or whether they will dismiss it, says to them that that desire and that longing for satisfaction, for fulfillment, that filling of that emptiness within you, that missing piece, will be found. And not in Grand Auto Theft 5 or 6 or 7, or in drugs, or in the pub and club scene, or in the dance until 5 o'clock in the morning. Yes, there will be a certain sense of pleasure and satisfaction in these things, but you will still be left the next morning with that sense, I still haven't found what I'm really looking for. And the good news of the gospel, as you know, says that that satisfaction is found not in those things, not even in religion, but in Jesus, Jesus Christ. It's reflected in those words that we sang just there a moment ago, that beautiful rendering of I heard the voice of Jesus say. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. And the testimony of the one who wrote that, I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. And my thirst was quenched and my soul revived. And now I live in him. And that is the gospel. That is the gospel. And that is what we seek to preach and proclaim essentially to those who will hear it and those who will not hear it. That it is only in the Lord Jesus that the desires of our hearts can truly be satisfied. And we come this morning to this passage, and I just want to approach it in the sense of a royal invitation. We're not going to look at all this passage this morning, but there's a few things I want you to notice. First of all, a royal invitation, and it's very, very simple. It's there right in the beginning. It's the very first word, and it's a word that's repeated a number of times, and it's the word come. Come. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to to the waters. Notice how in this passage people are described. Notice who is told to come. Well, those who are thirsty, those who are poor, with no money, and that's not, strictly speaking, just speaking about those who literally have no money. It's speaking about more than that. Those who are dissatisfied. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And notice what the passage says, that if people come, notice what they will find. The thirsty will find water. The poor will find abundance. Wine and milk, symbols of, in this day and age, of the abundance. The abundant life, having what you long for. And the dissatisfied will find satisfaction for their souls. That's what it says. And you know the amazing thing, and this ties in with what I was sharing with the boys and girls. The writer here says, he asked the question, and you know how much it's going to cost you? And he gives the answer. He says, it's not going to cost you anything. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. It's grace. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to go out and do something, as we were saying with the boys and girls. You don't have to go out and get £1,000 and then say, right, I've got it. You don't have to go out and do this, that, and the other thing. You come without money and without cost. That is the amazing grace of God. Jesus stands before a woman and says to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that's asking you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And everyone who drinks this water that I give will never thirst again. I wonder, folks, this morning, do you believe that? I wonder, not only do you believe it, but have you responded to that invitation, that royal invitation? You know, it's remarkable. If you got an invitation from the royal family, it wouldn't be stuck in a drawer. You would respond. Here is an invitation from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come, all you who are thirsty. But I want you to notice this morning that it's not just an invitation. There's also another slant on this. It is a royal command. And what I want you to notice here, and I'm just picking out some principles from this passage this morning. I want you to notice what it says in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. Here we have not just an invitation, but actually a command to seek the Lord. Now, this is a very famous text, a very well-known text. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Many of you remember memorizing those words as a young person for a Sunday school. Some of you may even have it up on the wall at home. But how do we seek the Lord? Well, let me make a couple of suggestions. We need to seek the Lord intentionally. In other words, we decide, and let me speak to you here this morning. Maybe you are here this morning and you have not yet responded to the invitation. And you need to hear not only that invitation, but you need to hear, as it were, the command of the Lord to seek him. How do you do that? Well, for example, you can seek the Lord by opening your Bible at home. Go into a room, close the door, get yourself a bit of privacy and open the scriptures, open the gospel and begin to read it and pray that God would speak to you. You seek the Lord by doing what you are doing right now, by gathering on a Sunday to sit under the sound of the gospel, to give yourself to hearing the gospel message, the gospel invitation go out. You seek the Lord. There are times that you seek the Lord by saying, I need to speak to someone about this. I need to go and speak to my minister. I need to talk to my elder. I need to seek after these things. Are you intentional? Or could it be that you're just kind of drifting along? Yes, of course, you realize that you need to respond to the gospel, but you're sort of waiting for something to happen. I'm not quite sure what you're waiting for, but you need to seek the Lord. And you also need to seek the Lord, not only in an intentional way, but in a wholehearted way. This is not to be a half-hearted measure. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, very famous words. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Could it be that you're here today and yes, you agree with me, I need to seek the Lord, but you're pretty half-hearted about it? It's a sort of a take it or leave it kind of a thing. You're not going out of your way to seek after God. Seek me and you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Put your heart into it, folks. But there's another dimension to this. Remember, not so long ago, reading a lovely story that Tim Keller, well-known Christian leader in Manhattan, New York, pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church. He tells the story of a true story of a lady who sort of always complained that she had prayed over and over again, God, help me to find you. And she didn't seem to get anywhere. And a Christian friend suggested to her that she might slightly change her prayer to God, come and find me. After all, said the friend, God is the shepherd who goes after the sheep that are lost. God, come and find me. Let me ask you this morning, are you prepared to pray that prayer? You're open to the gospel. You're open to hear the gospel, but are you prepared today, right now, when you go home, to pray earnestly, God, come and find me. Help me to know you. She began to seek God. A royal invitation, a royal command. But I want you also to notice here that there is a royal warning. The text says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. The story is told, the true story. You may wonder about this story, but it's a true story and there's a very helpful point to it, so bear with me. The story is told of a completely reckless individual who was an unbeliever, sadly, who was a cynic, a skeptic, and he died. And he willed his farm, his business, his land, believe it or not, to the devil. This actually went to court. It caused an awful lot of head scratching. And after some months of deliberation, they handed down the following decision. It is decided, and I'm quoting, it is decided that the best way to carry out the wish of the deceased is to allow the farm to grow weeds the soil to erode, and the house and the barn to rot. In our opinion, the best way to leave something to the devil is to do nothing. And therein lies a great truth. Few of us would want to admit to following in that infidel's footsteps. We would want to run a mile from that example. And yet many, many people in the kingdom of Mourn, in this province, in this land, and in this world, do nothing. They postpone. They procrastinate, which just means put off until tomorrow. The great decisions of life and eternity. And they end up having willed their souls to the devil. And can I say to you today that it is not difficult to lose your soul. It is not difficult to ruin yourself eternally. All you have to do is nothing. Nothing. And the text says to us today, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You see, folks, he is near today. He can be found today. This is a day of grace. But the day of grace does not continue forever. Your day of grace may end in a very short space of time. Your day of grace may end before this week is finished. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Psalm 95, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, saying, oh yes, I'll get that sorted someday. Someday never comes for many. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's a royal warning, isn't it? It is a warning. Take heed, folks. Take heed. Be wise. Do not allow the evil one to dupe you into doing nothing. And if I can say this, it's a very stark thing to say. A lost eternity will be full of those who did nothing. But here's the last thing. A royal promise. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. Here it is. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will freely or abundantly pardon. You see, the Lord, as the psalmist says, the Lord is compassionate, Psalm 103, and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. And we have different aspects of the gospel call here. Look at those titles there, folks. Here's the gospel. You are invited, the free offer of the gospel. You are invited. There's not one person here this morning who is not invited. There's not one person in the kingdom of Mourn who is not invited. You are commanded. You are warned. Don't presume on the grace of God. But you are also promised that if you turn, if you come, if you respond, you will experience the touch of the Lord, the forgiveness of the Lord, the new life of the Lord. Whoever comes to me, said Jesus in John's gospel, I will never drive away. So here is my question as I begin to tie this together. Why delay? Why delay? I am concerned for those within our own church family, for those within this community who have heard the gospel so many times and yet they delay, they put off until tomorrow. And I just fear that for many, tomorrow will never come for them. Why delay? Why presume on the grace of God? In a moment, we will sing those lovely words, "Just as I am, thou wilt receive," to use the old-fashioned language, but the sentiment is wonderful. "Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will pardon, welcome, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." That story I told you, that true story about that lady who went around saying, God, help me to find you. At one level, a fair enough prayer. But the friend put an edge to it and said to her, "Pray, God, come and find me. Come and find me. I'm seeking after you. Come and find me, God." When I read that story, it was written by the lady who had been praying. And she finished by saying this: "The only reason that I can tell you this story is because he did. He did find me. And he touched my life, and he changed my life, and he turned my life right around." And this morning, some of you, the Spirit speaks into your heart, and God calls you to come, maybe for the first time. Maybe it's not for the first time. Maybe you have wandered, and God is calling you back. Come. Do not harden your heart. Today, now, is the time of God's salvation and God's fresh touch. It's a royal invitation. It's a royal command. It's a warning. Don't presume. And it's a promise. Those who come unto me, I will never cast out.